On this episode of DC On Screen, we are talking about, surprise, Ezra Miller. Plus, trailers for Stargirl Season 3, Harley Quinn Season 3, and Battle of the Super Sons right after these words from our mystery sponsors. Welcome into DC On Screen, the show about the DC multiverse on film and television. I'm your host, David C. Robertson, and this, the man who once sang to me, "I can show you the world," while holding up a $6 bottle of Rex Goliath, Jason Goss.
Didn't you?
Didn't I what?
Did you not find yourself feeling like you were flying on a carpet by the end of that?
No. Well, I felt like I was sitting in a computer chair, drinking a really disgusting solo cup full of chicken wine.
It is chicken one. All right, so...
listening to you talk about Batman.
Look, at least that part you enjoyed.
I did.
Sorry about the chicken wine.
No, it was fine.
Rex Goliath is a strangely palatable gas station wine.
Mm-hmm. It is not palatable.
Okay. What's worse than palatable? You can gullet it if you really try.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a word for that? I don't recall it.
Gulp?
Yeah, no. Alcohol that you have to... It is swill. If you have like if there's an alcohol that you have to already be drunk to partake in, to imbibe, that's it.
Yeah.
But it was 2:30 in the morning. We worked night shifts at the time.
Yeah, that's true.
I got what I could get. And I shared. Yeah.
I'm not cheap
solo cups.
I am not a huge fan of wine in the first place. I'm more of a vodka guy, but or tequila. But you know, the other night I was at your house and your wife gave me a glass of wine, and I had not had any in forever. And I took that first swig, and I was just like, "Whew, them tannins, though." And, you know, your wife is not going to give me chicken wine.
No.
And I was like, yeah. She was like, oh.
She spends at least $3 more on bottles of wine.
Yeah. And she said, oh, you don't like it? I'm like, it's just the initial thing. I'm not a huge wine fan. She was like, well, you know, give it to Jason. I was like, no. No.
Let's not get crazy now. I didn't say that.
She's like, Jason will drink it. And I'm like, drink what? It's gone.
And then you crushed the glass and threw it in our fireplace.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens.
I don't remember which wine bottle that was. If it was actually the legit French wine or just some random shit she had around.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
I don't either. They all look the same.
And I was like,
I am not good enough to decide if any of them taste the same or different. Clearly. Yeah. Clearly, I was drinking chicken wine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be worse. I knew a guy years ago.
Around that time, when I had more money, I'd buy kangaroo wine.
Oh, yeah. I remember kangaroo wine.
Yeah.
I knew a guy years and years ago when I worked at a place called Hungry Howie's. It was a pizza joint. I knew a guy who, he was a driver, who drank antifreeze.
Oh, fuck. I've heard of such a thing, but how'd it work out for him?
I mean, he's still alive. He seems fine.
Like, he probably is to some extent. There is a very deliberate limit in that behavior.
Yeah. He, you know, wound up getting some job at a, you know, I think it was a Tyson Chicken or something. And he was like, I could finally afford Jack on a normal basis.
Mm.
Oh, Lord.
Good God. Like, you hear some stories about people who are like 100 years old and they make the local paper and, you know, it'll be like, what's your secret? And they're like, I don't know how it works, but lunch every day I have a bacon and mayo sandwich and two beers. And you're like, okay, so well, that's weird. How'd you make it this long? And, you know, even those stories, you're not going to hear like, yeah, I had a BLT and three shots of antifreeze every afternoon. Like,
right.
You're going to make it into your early 40s at best. That's a stretch.
Yeah. But even then, if they did say
and
that.
And many like, a dog would envy your ride there.
Even if they were like, hey, I drink antifreeze. Like, they're not going to tell you that. That's their secret. Like, if they're like, man, I drank antifreeze. Because you're 115 years old. How'd you get there? Well, I drank antifreeze every day. There's always going to be like 100 assholes who are going to be like, don't you know that shit will kill you?
I just kind of blink at him and be like, I got the receipts, bitch. Sorry. I drink antifreeze every day. Why? How did you become like fucking Mr. Freeze and not do anything with it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. McFarlane is putting out the, they've been putting out these Batman 66 figures. Mm-hmm. And they are the same size as like the Mattel line that came out several years ago. What so size? Like 6 inches.
Gotcha.
They're 6 inch, scale. So, mm-hmm. Now they're starting to get to figures that McFarlane is getting to figures that Mattel never put out, like Eartha Kitt Catwoman, which I now have.
Ah.
And they just put up a pre-order for Mr. Freeze, the Otto Preminger version of Mr. Freeze. And I was like, oh, God, yes. I'm not going to pre-order it because it'll be in stores a good 6 months before Target ever thinks to ship it to me. But I'm very excited. That I'm finally going to get a 66 Mr.
That there's one dude who is in charge of the pre-orders for Target in situations mm-hmm. like this, and that he is constantly looking at his emails 2 months later and saying, mm-hmm. oh shit. Like that's his daily routine, is walking in with a bagel with schmear and coffee, sitting down and going, oh Schmidt. Like, oh shit.
Oh Schmidt.
Yeah. Schmear. But I'm convinced this dude is just behind the ball, like so far that he'll never catch up.
Yeah, there's some kind of racket I'm not quite understanding. If anyone out there, any of our listeners understand the racket, the pre-order racket, please let me know.
Well, but quick question. I do not paying, pre-order. Are you paying up front and getting a refund, or are you just like committing to pay?
That's the thing. That's the annoying thing is like when you pre-order from Target, they will throw that amount of money into like it will show up as pending on your bank account and then it'll go away. And then it'll show up as pending on your bank account and then it'll go away. And it does this for months until Target will do a thing where they're like, they'll send you an email that says like, oh, well, it's going to be delayed. Do you want to cancel it? And if you don't respond in a couple of days, they'll cancel it.
Mm, that's rough.
It's really annoying.
I don't know what the angle is. I don't know if the money was already in their account and then they're like, oh no, we couldn't make it. I would think it was some like scam where they're just rejiggering the money for interest, but.
They'll also do a thing where they send you an email that just says, hey, by the way, your pre-order's canceled. Why? We couldn't fulfill it yet.
Reasons.
Demand was higher than we anticipated. Oh. And then you're like, well, good thing I can just go down to Target and it's there. It's dumb, man. Anyway, before we get into the news, I want to thank the patrons.
Always.
And forever. I hope you guys enjoyed our Multiverse of Madness review.
That thing.
Did you just lose what you were going to say?
No, there are just still a couple scenes I'm thinking of. But yeah, mm-hmm. that thing, it hit, I think it was on Disney Plus now.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to find time to watch it, but I'm not going to. It's just not going to happen. We're going on vacation next week. So I'm like I was trying to squeeze it in, but I just can't.
Too much going on, man.
I know.
You've got too much TV. You've got a vacation going.
But I really wanted to rewatch some of it to like relive the magic of a couple of moments in that.
Yeah.
But, for a later date.
Yeah. I truly do not understand all the, this was mid, this was cringe. Like, shut up. The movie was fantastic.
I thought it was fantastic, yeah.
Fantastic.
Like a little horror film snuck inside the Marvel Universe.
But like a Sam Raimi horror film. So mm-hmm. not real horror, like fun horror.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there are moments that are genuinely horrific, but
mm-hmm.
For reasons that we'll keep it spoiler free in case. But
mm-hmm.
Like genuinely striking moments that like I've thought about since I've seen the movie and gone, God, whew, that kind of hurt to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but the man used deadites as a cape. Come on.
That's just cool.
It is. Anyway, if you want to join the hallowed ranks of our patrons, $1 a month gets you every episode of the podcast dynamic ad-free. And $5 a month gets you that plus whatever extra content we decide to throw up. And I'm actually thinking about starting to put up full resolution copies of my DC art. I don't know how many of our listeners know about this, but on Instagram, I go by at Drawing with Dave. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of artwork and have been actually doing a lot of art commissions these days. And but I thought it'd be cool to just put up, since I can't actually sell them, offer them, I thought it'd be cool to offer the DC artwork to our patrons.
Yep. I specifically still need the print of the Superman with the scales.
I know. I need to send you that. I'm sorry.
I need that. That was fantastic.
Thank you. But yeah, so anyway, let's get on to what we got to talk about here. And of course, we're going to talk about Ezra Miller for a little bit. this Rolling Stone article kind of killed me because it felt like it was straight out of the 50s. Ezra is now accused of housing children on a farm with firearms and marijuana crops. But this this headline was, and I'll do it my best, Phil Hartman. Mm. Guns, bullets, and weed. Ezra Miller housing three young children and their mother at Vermont farm. It's like, and weed? So what are we, okay.
That feels about right.
Now, here's what's happening, though. A 25-year-old mother and her three young children are living at Ezra Miller's Vermont farm. The children's father and two others with the knowledge of the situation, whatever the hell that means, are worried about this situation. And, of course, the Rolling Stone article puts, you know, the most gender fluid picture up they can.
That part which, is just frustrating as shit.
It's frustrating, but at the same time, I've done searches for Ezra Miller. There aren't a lot of him just looking like a straight dude. You know what I mean?
Well, sure, but every time you want to do, like, Ezra's going to be doing this. Every time there's good press, it's Ezra in the Flash costume or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Or just fucking button-up. And then every time they're, like, being condemned for some headline that may or may not have any real backing.
Yeah.
It's the most gender-bending fucking photo anyone can find on AP right then.
Yeah.
Or on Getty or some shit.
Well, and whether or not it's, like, whether or not it's, like, Rolling Stone has an anti-queer agenda, or this will get the most clicks.
With Rolling Stone, I'm pretty sure it's going to be the second one.
The clicks? They just want the clicks.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be a little bit of selling your soul. Mm-hmm. Like, Rolling Stone has been traditionally a pretty progressive piece of media, but I don't know.
That's not how I've always taken it.
I mean, I only say that because, like, what I've seen of it is always focused on artists, and they take their viewpoint. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of artists are generally in that camp, so
yeah,
I kind of assume they're coming from that point. And
Rolling Stone is George Norrie on Coast to Coast.
Yeah,
like whatever the guest is saying, he's all for it. Like shadow people, yeah, absolutely. I've seen them too. Yeah.
That's about right.
Orbs with tiny aliens inside. Yes, absolutely. I've seen that. One went up my butt last night. Happened. Can't deny it.
Happened. Can't deny it. Kind of liked it. Not sure I'd do it again, but kind of liked it.
Oh, how I mourn for Art Bell.
No, those were good times. I really did turn that on a lot growing up, and it was glorious radio.
Absolutely. Anyway, so these two sources with the knowledge of the situation expressed concern to Rolling Stone, saying it was an unsafe environment for the children, saying that there were unattended guns strewn around the room on the 96-acre property. And
God, that's a property.
One source
did they take over, like, Hunter S. Thompson's fucking property?
Dude, I don't know. But
they would already be the guns.
One source requested anonymity for fear of retribution and recalled an instance where one of the children, from Ezra, apparently.
A 95-pound person.
Ezra has power.
I know. There's plenty there. I'm just parts of this crack me up. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Said one of the children, a 1-year-old, allegedly picked up a loose bullet and put it in her mouth. The mother, though, says that told Rolling Stone that the father was violent and abusive, and Miller helped her finally have a safe environment for her and her three very young children. She said, Ezra's home ranch has been a healing haven for us. They may have firearms for self-defense purposes, and they are stored in part of the house that the children never go in, my kids are able to relax more into their healing because of the safety and nurturing Ezra has provided for them. The kids are aged 1 to 5, by the way. And so Rolling Stone, though, pointed out that, like, Miller's got more weed than Vermont allows. And let's see.
Well, I mean, even in Vermont, that
right
is not that fucking much. Like, well, most states will give you, like they, half a pound at most.
Yeah, like, in Vermont, you're allowed to have 2 mature plants or 4 immature plants.
I haven't heard that phrasing.
That's the way they said it in this article. Whatever that means. Exactly. But let me go back though a little bit.
I forget the details. But male female matters. Like if some of the ones are male plants, they'll destroy the female plant's ability to actually create THC. So I think that's the way that works.
The father, who is apparently abusive, according to the mother, says, mm-hmm. I got a bad feeling in my stomach. I do want to get my kids. They mean the fucking world to me. Okay, buddy. And this woman has been living with Ezra since they left Hawaii. That's where they met, apparently.
I know.
The mother and the father have been at odds for some time. According to the Hawaii court records, the mother pursued 1 domestic abuse case and 1 paternity case against the father in May of 2021. He has denied all abuse allegations, and the domestic case was terminated when neither of the parents appeared in court. So before Ezra even comes into the picture, these people are, they don't have their shit together.
No, they sound like my sister.
Okay. Files in the paternity case show the judge put the case on hold. This all feels
very familiar to me.
The judge put the case on hold last October because the father had not been served. The father filed a domestic case against the mother in April related to her taking the children out of the state. That case is pending. The two sources who confirmed seeing the children there with their mother described it as a chaotic environment that is unsafe for children. Video footage from April, reviewed by Rolling Stone, appears to show at least 8 assault weapons, rifles, and handguns lying around the living room, with some weapons propped up next to a pile of stuffed animals. What the hell, man? The two sources also allege that there has been frequent and heavy marijuana use in front of the children, with little concern about proper ventilation. Rolling Stone has also learned that there is a sizable cannabis farm on Miller's property, with Miller's close friend and purported handyman, Whitney Suitors, claiming on social media that the two were running a cannabis company called Rebel Alliance Cannabis. Numerous photos posted to Suitors' social media pages indicate that there's a far greater number of marijuana plants than Vermont's permitted 2 mature plants or 4 immature plants that private citizens can own. Suitors told one Facebook friend, there were at least 28 different strains growing.
Yeah, but if they're running a company, different rules apply in Vermont.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But Miller's farm is not among the state's 25 licensed cultivators that are allowed to grow more than 6 plants and sell to wholesalers, Rolling Stone confirmed.
That too. You got to have your paperwork in order, man.
The father claims he's been trying to remove his children from the farm since April. After learning of the alleged weapons and drug use at Miller's property in mid-May, he called Vermont's Department for Children and Families and local police to carry out wellness checks. Rolling Stone reviewed text messages between the father and a number registered to a Vermont social worker who said in a text that they had visited the house on May 16th and the kids looked good, noting the worker had, quote, more work to do. It is not clear if the social worker returned to the home.
I would like to know if he or she meant more work to do at the house or just, yeah, I've got other places to be. Bitch,
yeah,
they're
I've
fine.
Got other shit to do. Leave me alone. Yeah.
This is an incredibly ambiguous thing to hear about.
Yeah. It is.
And of the more, headlinery things, the outstanding moments, like the bullet and the 1-year-old.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything that seems like that is substantiated other than supposedly having a video. But, again, from my personal life, there's a lot of things that are said. But even then, you can't bite a bullet. Like, not really. A 1-year-old can't bite a bullet and die. They could choke on it. That's a real thing.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't you're not going to discharge the bullet biting it with your gums.
Yeah. So yeah, there is a lot of this stuff that seems to be like there are two sides to it, where it's like, yes, Ezra is in the middle of stupid shit.
Oh, like they keep finding themselves in these situations, and I don't know what to think about it. In certain ways, you feel like, come on, Ezra, like, can you just start? I really wish they would just isolate themselves until the fucking film comes out. Like, just go into a bunker.
Yeah.
And anything you feel like you need to be involved in, just donate money.
Yeah.
Just donate and money instead.
We've got the parents of this, I guess they go by she pronouns, of their daughter, who they're saying that Miller groomed her and met her when she was 12 and has groomed her. She's 18 now, by the way. Mm. They're saying like, oh, he's running around with her and won't let her bathe, won't let her put on makeup, well, you know, all this stuff. But then when you dig into it a little bit, it looks like they've been trying to get a conservatorship going for way before. And they never mentioned Miller until the headlines started coming out. Dakota, the girl, says that they're transphobic and they've been having, you know, issues with their parents for years. And doesn't have any problem with Ezra, supposedly. It's just everything is just so back and forth on the whole thing. Like, you know, one of those arrests was like, you know, the body cam footage shows like Ezra's like, I'm the one that called you, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. It sucks that all of this is happening, but
it has been weird. The thing that two things that strike me on a mental level, Warner Brothers has not really cut Ezra.
Mm.
Not really. And if there was anything substantial, that's a robust legal team.
Well, look, here's the thing though. Like, you know, I don't know if you've seen these, but there were all these headlines that were like, Ezra's on the run from authorities. They can't find him.
Yeah, so.
They're not looking for him. Them. They're not looking for Ezra at all.
It was a mislead.
Well, here's the thing though. It says authorities. All those headlines say authorities, but Dakota and her parents lived on a Native American reservation, and that's the court they appealed to.
Mm-hmm.
So the Native American reservation court does not have jurisdiction outside of the reservation. So even if they knew where Ezra was, if he's not, or if they're not in the reservation, they can't do jack shit about it.
Oh, like, they're notoriously confined to that area.
Yeah. So
it's a well-known historical concept, unfortunately.
That's the on the run story.
That's the authorities can't find them story.
It's just you got to look a little deeper than the headlines. That's not saying that. Like, I'm not saying that Miller is not toxic or, you know, a magnet for drama, because clearly
a magnet for drama. I think that part goes without saying at this point, but.
Yes, they said that they'll burn this person and their slut wife, but we don't know what the conversation was before that. But to even say that, it's kind of rough there, you know, threw a chair, hit a 26-year-old woman in the head. We all know what happened, what led up to that, but you know, parties are parties, you know,
those are both things that I've never done, but
right.
With as much that's been thrown against Ezra at this point, it's not mm-hmm. that I'm just trying to defend them. It's that I want to, so much of it has been clearly wrong and so much of mm-hmm. it may be right that at this point I just want to keep an ear open.
Right. And things like today, a few things came out. And, so let's go and go over to Deadline says that, Ezra Miller is not reportedly part of WB's future plans after the 2023 movie. One studio source tells Deadline, there is no winning in this for Warner Brothers. This is an inherited problem for Zaslav. The hope is that this scandal will remain at a low level before the movie is released and hope for the best to turn out.
See, if the mm-hmm. speculation that this is because Ezra is, you know, kind of gender fluid, that mm-hmm. If that's right, and the accusations about CW cutting basically all the diversity, mm-hmm. That will not play well.
Yeah.
If it turns out that Ezra was right.
Yeah. Sources said to Deadline.
Best of luck, Zaslav, on that one.
Even if no more allegations surface, the studio will not likely keep Miller in the Flash role in future DC films. That would mean replacing them in the future, but there is still a $200 million investment on the line with the first film, and Warner Brothers execs have to be cringing at each new press report. So
sounds right. Only $200 million.
Yeah, we go to today though.
After all the false starts and all the rolling the budgets in, I thought it'd be more than that.
I thought. They probably WB committed
paid Grant Morrison like $250,000 just for his version of the script.
Well, Variety's reporting that WB is committed to releasing Ezra Miller's movie. And then more encounters became public.
Ah.
So man, here we go. This is via Variety.
Yeah.
They basically said, hey, remember back when COVID-19 was just starting and a viral video of Miller appearing to choke out a fan at a bar surfaced online?
Yep.
In a new report, the victim in that incident has now spoken out publicly for the first time, in addition to an alleged victim from another incident. So the first victim, who remained anonymous, revealed that the encounter began after asking Miller about injuries on their person, with Ezra telling them they were battle scars from a fight. They revealed that after saying this, they told Miller, just so you know, I could take you in a fight. And then Ezra said, you really want to fight? And this exchange led to the physical altercation scene of the video. Their story was corroborated by multiple other sources, with the trade even speaking to a bartender from the establishment who told them there was always something with Ezra. I think it's just fun and games, and then it wasn't, the victim told the trade. All of a sudden, they're on top of me, choking me, still screaming in my face if I want to fight. My friend, who's filming, sees they're obviously not joking and is actually serious, so he stops filming and pushes Ezra off of me, and Ezra's still trying to fight me. The guy friends of mine are actually holding Miller back as they're screaming, this is what you wanted, this is what you wanted. I don't quite remember that video that way.
Not quite.
Just the part that she was laughing the whole time. But okay.
I mean, yeah, but that can be a shock Maybe. Reaction.
Maybe it can be, yeah.
I mean, it's very definitely like a thing people do in shock.
Yeah.
I love that it's come full circle to like the first weird video.
Yeah. Variety's report goes on to reveal a new encounter that was previously unknown to the public. An alleged victim in Berlin, Germany, spoke with the trade about their own encounter with Miller. One that seemed pleasant at first, before becoming violent and aggressive after they told Miller not to smoke in their home. Their story was corroborated by 5 other sources to the trade as well. That just set them off, the victim, identified only as Nadia, told Variety. I asked them to leave about 20 times, maybe more. They started insulting me. I'm a transphobic piece of shit. I'm a Nazi. It became so stressful for me. They were going around my house, looking at everything, touching everything, spreading tobacco leaves on the floor. It felt disgusting and very intrusive.
Spreading tobacco leaves on the floor?
Yeah, because she asked him or them not to smoke.
Where the fuck did tobacco leaves come from?
Dude, it's Ezra Miller.
You can't just smoke tobacco leaves.
No, but it's Ezra Miller. Who the hell knows?
I mean, I agree. That could be some eccentric shit, but that's weird.
And also, this person's from Germany, so maybe they mean like taking like the ground, like the dried up tobacco from a cigarette.
Okay. And, yeah, that could be a translation thing.
Putting it in. Yeah. I mean, I think it's funny that that's what hung you up. But yeah.
It's the little things where you're like, hold on. What the fuck but, here?
According to Variety, though, the investment that WB put into the Flash movie is simply too much to scrap the project, dump it on HBO Max, or even reshoot Miller's scenes with a new actor.
Oh, completely.
The trade says that the studio was committed to releasing the movie. So that's our Ezra Miller news. There's just every week, man, every week there's something else about Ezra popping up.
Yeah.
And it's like that bartender said, it's always something with Ezra.
Yeah.
I'm
torn. Like, on the one hand, there's so much that I think is being misrepresented that I want to point out. And on the other hand, it's, man, there's a lot of stuff going on here.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, yes, there's a lot of stuff that seems to be, that is definitely being misrepresented when you dig into these stories. That gives you a little more, like, oh, okay, like, context. At the same time, there's a lot of smoke here, y'all.
There's that.
Ezra is not innocent in all of this. Like, and by the way, nothing to my knowledge has ever come out. Remember that ex who came out and said that Ezra was a terrible person that tried to destroy them or whatever? Like, that's never been refuted by anybody. to my knowledge, I haven't seen it, and I've looked. So, like, I don't know, maybe some people jumping on a bandwagon, but hoping to get, you know, a little fame off of it, but not people who are claiming anonymity, you know. I think Ezra's got some issues, and I hope Ezra gets help, and I hope Ezra stops being the Flash.
Yeah, probably all those things.
Because, you know, selfishly,
well, I mean, if
I do, this is a DC show. I don't want to stop talking about this.
I know. If Ezra gets some help, like, I kind of hope they could do that in a time frame where they can maybe come back and bounce back. It's been,
I mean,
a weird enough situation where maybe there's no bouncing back, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, going back to that Deadline article,
of those accusations, like, if a lot of them, if any of them are true, then there is no bouncing back.
Deadline was told the studio has tried getting help for Miller, but nothing stuck.
I mean,
it just sounds like Ezra's just like, screw you guys, I'm doing my own thing.
Yeah, that's honestly probable given the circumstances.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll pop over to something else. I'm gonna stop talking about Ezra.
Sounds good.
So a fan on Twitter said, please bring Harley back for another project. James says, not a bad idea. Now, this was after he posted a picture of Harley. So, kind of thinking that might be a tease for an upcoming project.
I'm up for it.
Or rather, I'm hoping it is.
Yeah.
To Shazam Fury of the Gods, Benjamin Wallfish composed the music for the first movie. And David F. Sandberg, the director, just said on Twitter he is being replaced by Christoph Beck. And they tried to get Benjamin Wallfish back, but it was a scheduling issue. So the new guy, Christoph, has scored several films and television shows. He won an Emmy for his work on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He's worked on Frozen, The Muppets, Edge of Tomorrow. Also, a bunch of Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff. Composed music for Ant-Man, Ant-Man and the Wasp, WandaVision, and Hawkeye. Nominated for an Emmy once again for WandaVision. That doesn't sound bad to me. Like, I did not like WandaVision, but the music was not the issue.
That name rings a bell.
WandaVision? Yeah, it was a Marvel show. And
Wanda? Or the name Christopher? Or
Christoph. Christoph Beck.
Christoph.
All right. That's all you got to say on that? It rings a bell?
It does ring a bell. Honestly, that's why. Yeah, I keep seeing it on the fucking Frozen things. The actual score for Frozen is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I say that as someone who's been forced to watch the film several times. And my problems with that movie are not the music's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the musical in times, but not the score's fault.
Right. Last bit of movie news. Zack Snyder's Justice League gets a digital release date of 7/19. That is July 19th. This is the first time it'll be available digitally outside of HBO Max, which is the important thing. And I imagine the sales on that are going to really fuel Zaslav either way on whether or not more gets made with Zack.
Possibly. I mean, another interpretation is that the physical sales, I wonder if that's what he's looking at, the legs.
Mm-hmm.
If the physical sales, because the physical sales were impressive.
Mm-hmm.
If he's wondering the digital will follow, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they were going to do this eventually anyway, but Zaslav's a numbers guy, so even if you have the physical and you really, really, really want the thing to come back, I guess buy that digital.
Yeah. Sadly, voting with money is, it's the best thing you can do that's like an anti-boycott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even more powerful, I dare say, than hashtagging every son of a bitch in post they put up.
That's definitely better than a hashtag. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Zaslav does not care about your hashtag. Zaslav likes money.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Like a good enough trending hashtag will do some damage here. But man, money. Money really does count.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to head to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Stargirl's trailer and some Flash news and some Harley Quinn season 3 trailer news and a couple other things. So Don't be square. Stick around.
Oh, sir. That was such a dad joke that a stork should have just arrived at your window.
Hold on. I'm going to go run and tell Bethany don't answer the door.
Or any window. It may sound like a hurricane trying to get in.
Right.
Like, imagine, you know, Wizard of Oz.
All right, we are back, and let's talk about this Stargirl Season 3 trailer. There's not a lot to talk about, honestly, like, except Joel McHale is there, and he's delightful. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you have anything else on that Stargirl trailer?
No, not much, no. Just generally love seeing that guy, but no, I mean, really, that's it for me. I'm going to be effusive, probably, about Stargirl once it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I loved this show so far. It's been fantastic.
Yeah. I've enjoyed it quite a bit. I don't remember how things went with Shade, if Shade is still alive or not.
Yeah, he is.
Okay. I couldn't remember.
He was going to stick around for a minute.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love Joel McHale. I love this idea of Starman coming back and seeing what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a whole lot more to the trailer than that, honestly. It looked like more of the same, which isn't a complaint.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
The Harley Quinn Season 3 trailer came out for HBO Max, and
they're banging.
It looks like more of the same, mm-hmm. which is, again, not a complaint.
Not a problem.
We got a peek into the Court of Owls. Apparently, they're about to have them big-ass owl orgy, which is...
That was not mentioned in the original books.
Right. I don't remember Scott going into that. But
no.
Yeah, so that's fun and funny. And, of course, my favorite bit is James Gunn is actually playing himself in Harley Quinn Season 3. And that may have been what he was alluding to on Twitter when he posted that picture. But
he, according to the promo, like sits on a Clayface butt plug.
Yes. Well, it was a whole chair made out of Clayface.
Yeah. But Clayface was kind of toward the bottom. Maybe like an ass munch situation. I don't know.
Well, the whole chair was Clayface.
Like on the back of the chair afterward.
Yeah, I think Clayface is the chair.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's definitely the chair. I'm just saying he's...
Yeah.
He's got his vitality focused on different parts.
But, yeah, very pleased. some bit where, like, Harley's like... you know, this plan will make Lex Luthor shit his pants. And King Shark goes, oh, and Lex Luthor, or that man does not shit his pants for anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love King Shark on this show. I love King Shark on Gunn's movie, but.
Hell, I love King Shark on totally. Flash, but.
He's all right on Flash. He's just a big old. Rah, rah, rah.
He is a big old, well CGI'd rah, rah, rah. But weirdly well CGI. But yeah, like that character has been fantastic recently, and Ron Funches is gift. He's a gift to that character.
Yeah, like I would watch a series, like a multiverse series, where Ron Funches and Sly Stallone team up, the two King Sharks. Like,
that would be fantastic. Like the big growly one, and then the one with the like slightly kind of lilty voice.
Yeah. Ah,
fantastic.
Just, you know, bird. Yeah. I seem to think that, you know, just like it would be, oh my God. Like, what do you mean? Like, it is not preferable that you place that woman's head inside of your mouth.
Wow. All right.
Yep. According to TV Line, Candace Patton has signed on for season 9 of The Flash. And we weren't sure that she was going to. She seemed to kind of be waffling on it. She's actually come out and said certain things about how, like, they don't really treat her right and shit on the show. So I'm a little surprised that she's coming back, but here she is. And
it's a long tradition for Warner Brothers to not treat the people in Vancouver with any posterity.
Yeah.
Or humanity.
Yep.
Whatsoever.
So, God willing, this will be the last season of The Flash.
I don't hope it'll end because I hate the show. I hope it'll end because I want it to end with some grace.
Oh, you're about 4 or 5 years past that point.
I know.
I want it to end because it's bad.
I know.
Like, I miss it being good. I miss it being my favorite thing to watch every week. Yeah. Like, and now it's just, oh.
Yeah.
Hell. Anyway. So, you know how Jensen Ackles was Batman in The Long Halloween?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he says, he was just on Seth Meyers, and he says, I just spent about 3.5 hours in the studio yesterday doing Batman.
Sweet.
That was a big deal. I don't want to drop the ball. So, yeah, I'm wondering if they're going to do Dark Victory next.
I like that. He has a good
horse. He's killing it on The Boys. Like,
oh, fine. I was going to ask if you'd seen The Boys on this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Jeebus. Don't watch with a... if you have a weak stomach, God help you. But,
Yep.
The Boys.
I have experienced the hero-gasm.
Even Termite.
Looking forward to the next installment. Yeah.
I'm going to try to watch that tomorrow night before we go on vacation because, dear God, I don't want to be somewhere without a Wi-Fi connection and something I can watch with.
You know, you've got to be the kind of dad who, for a second, learns that an ailing stomach can help you get anything you actually want to get done accomplished.
Oh, no.
I gotta go to the bathroom. You sit in the bathroom with your headphones on watching The Boys.
No. What I tend to do is I'll sit there on the couch and watch it on my phone with a headphone so no one can hear or see. And then if she comes over, I'll turn it off and be like, oh, this one isn't for you, baby. What do you want to watch? And then we'll turn on the next episode of whatever has stopped playing because I was so enthralled with The Boys that I didn't realize that the, like, are you still watching prompt was on the screen.
Yeah.
Yes. That's fair. Yes. I'm an absentee dad sometimes. Especially when I'm watching something as ridiculous as The Boys.
Yeah. So this, they put out a trailer for this animated feature, Batman and Superman Battle of the Super Sons.
Mm-hmm.
I think the story looks cool. I like how the animation actually looks like a 3D version of, what's the guy's name? Is it Jorge Jimenez? Is that how you say
Jorge
it?
Jimenez? Or
is that how you say it? I don't know.
I think it's supposed to be Jorge Jimenez.
Yeah, I'm awful. But he's, awesome.
Yes.
The thing about it, though, is the animation, because of the weird CGI nature of it, looks super stilted.
Yeah.
So that's not like one of my things. I'm like, yeah, that looks, it looks good and bad at the same time. But I'll definitely watch it. I mean, I like the Super Sons.
I think it's a budget thing for it to look the way it does.
Oh, yeah.
But a really cool take about how to try to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it looks cool in action. But I see what you're saying. Like, it's going to be a little stilted and still framed.
Yeah. It looks like Reboot.
Yeah, a little. But...
we should not be looking like cool. A CGI show from the 90s.
Yeah. It's going to be like Sliders. Yeah,
great. Yeah. So I'll check that out.
I don't know. The story seems nice. I'm probably going to get... I was very excited about the story. I would like to see Damian and John take on the Justice League. That sounds fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks great, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
That is our show. That's everything.
Yeah. That'll do it.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you come back. Yeah. That's it. That's all. I'm sorry. Bye. Until next time, keep some DC on your screen.
Bye.
Our intro music is by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Galactic Engineers of Magnetic Sounds, or GEMS, can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Visit DCOnScreen.com to find our Patreon, merch, contact information, and every episode of the show for free, including crossovers we've done with other podcasts. DC OnScreen is a maladjusted production. For more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, vlogs, parodies, and our improvised web series Hey Guy, visit maladjusted.dv.